Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Our special guest this week is State General Treasurer Seth Magaziner. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Let's start with the challenge to the recently approved settlement to a lawsuit over Rhode Island's pension overhaul. Treasurer Magaziner, do you think this deal can withstand review by the state Supreme Court?
Well, I'm very confident in the state's case, and I'm very confident in our legal counsel to defend the pension settlement if need be. This settlement was an important event for Rhode Island. It locked in billions of dollars of savings. It was a positive to the state's credit, a positive to our financial situation, and it was also a better deal for the workers and retirees in the system than the original pension reform. Most of the folks in the system are going to be seeing larger cost of living adjustments, more frequent cost of living adjustments, lower retirement ages in many cases. So it's a win-win all around. Our office and the state is prepared to defend the deal if need be. We need to put this behind us and move forward.
Maureen Moakley, you have said in the past you want to see this go to the Supreme Court, see it decided once and for all.
I do, and I would like to see that happen. And I do think the state has a very strong case. However, my hunch is it's not going to happen. I think the court has assiduously resisted making a decision on this. And my take is they'll bring it up, and if they agree, they'll put them in mediation. And I read now that mediation could take as long as a year.
Scott McKay, your thoughts?
Well, it's a done deal, I think, because as we all know, and lawyers would tell you this, a bad settlement is better than a good trial oftentimes. And what this does is it ends the uncertainty, this cloud that hung over state finances. So I think the Supreme Court would uphold the settlement.
While we're on the topic of the state pension system, there's been vocal criticism of investments in hedge funds because of the high fees they charge and the lack of transparency about their investments. Seth Magaziner, is there anything to this criticism, and are you taking steps to get out of any hedge funds?
Well, the most important thing is that we have a pension system with strong investment performance. Our office is still compiling the June numbers, but so far this year, from January through May 31st, our investment performance has been good. We returned about 4.1% in that time, despite a very challenging market environment where the S&P, for example, only returned about 2.5%. The reason that our performance has been strong so far is because we're well diversified. You can't put all of your eggs in one basket, whether it's stocks, bonds, what have you. So I think it's appropriate for us to be diversified, including having some investment in alternatives like private equity and hedge funds. That being said, you raise two very important points. When it comes to these alternative investments, they're not always transparent enough, and the fees are often too high. And we've been addressing both of those issues head on. We've had negotiations with a number of our funds since I took office around fees, and we've successfully secured fee breaks with several of our funds that are going to save the system millions of dollars. And then on transparency, we became one of the leaders in the country on transparency 2 months ago when we instituted a new policy saying that from now on, we are only going to invest in funds that let us publish their performance, and their fees and expenses. I don't believe any other state has gone that far. It's the right thing to do. So we can continue to make improvements on fees and transparency while still staying diversified and maximizing performance.
What bothers me most about the hedge funds is the way the federal government treats these folks for taxes. They're only paying 15%, even if they make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And everybody else, people who actually work by the sweat of their brow for a living, pay an awful lot more. That's what bothers me.
Maureen Moakley, what do you think? Should the state be getting out of hedge funds?
Well, I don't think they should be getting out of it. I understand the dilemma. The question is, how are they responding in terms of the investments that you want to make?
We have been going through our list of managers line by line, and we already have dropped one hedge fund that was a low performer that I didn't have conviction in. So far, I do believe that most, if not all, of our managers are going to go along with them. At the end of the day, they want our business.
Let's turn now to the Rhode Island economy. Treasurer Magaziner, you ran on a campaign promise to boost the economy. You've hailed the creation of a green infrastructure bank in the state budget. How much of an impact is this infrastructure bank really going to have?
Well, the infrastructure bank plan that our office developed is really trying to address two problems. First is high unemployment, especially in the building and construction trades. We lost 12,000 construction jobs during the recession, and we've gained fewer than half of those back. The second problem that we want to address is high energy costs. Rhode Island has the second highest price for commercial electricity in the country, after only Hawaii. A logical thing to do is to invest in projects that will put Rhode Islanders back to work, making our state more energy efficient.
And looking more broadly at the state budget, do you think it goes far enough to boost the economy?
Well, I think there are a lot of positive steps. There's no one silver bullet to fixing the economy, and it's not going to happen overnight. But I like the fact that we're investing in infrastructure, not just the infrastructure bank, but also, for example, lifting the moratorium on school construction. That's a positive step that'll put people back to work. I also like that we're investing in methods of reducing the brain drain. There's something in the budget that hasn't gotten a lot of attention that I think is great, and that is some student loan forgiveness for young people coming out of school who stay in Rhode Island working in science, technology, and engineering jobs. So there's a lot to like in this budget, but it's not going to happen overnight. We're in a deep hole, and it's going to take a lot of work to get out.
Professor Maureen Moakley, your thoughts. Does the budget go far enough to really help the state's economy in a meaningful way?
I think it does in the sense that the economy is picking up. That should reverberate in terms of what we're doing. And if we lay the groundwork on these various initiatives, they all may not be blockbusters, but piece by piece, I think we're creating an environment where with growth, we can manage this well and move ahead.
Scott McKay, what do you think?
I think it was much ado about not much, particularly it's little tiny things. And if you look at the big, big issue that's missing is the plan. First, with truck tolls, it wasn't rolled out well by the governor. But the fact is, the bulk of the money we really need to invest in the infrastructure was in that legislation to help fix roads and bridges. It did not happen. And I think that's really bad for the state's economy.
Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea has sent a letter to opponents of the Providence Stadium plan, advising them they must register with her office if they're engaging in lobbying activity. And the letter certainly seems to suggest strongly that they are. What's your take on this, Scott McKay?
I think it's foolish. For one thing, there is no proposal in front of the legislature or any state agency at this point that would require you to register as a lobbyist. This is a grassroots bunch of folks, and I don't understand for a minute why at this juncture they have to start registering to lobby. I know some of the conservative groups say this is intimidation. I'm not sure it went that far. It might simply be a bungle, but it doesn't look to me like they're lobbying state lawmakers or state agencies.
Maureen Moakley, was this a misstep?
I think it was a misstep, particularly since we don't have clear lobbying standards. So in a sense, the Secretary of State jumped the gun, and this just politically doesn't look right. And I think she may have to walk back on this.
Well, I think Maureen hit on something important, which is that the lobbying laws that we do have in Rhode Island are outdated and confusing, and they need to be reformed. I know that Secretary Gorbea wanted to reform those lobbying laws this year and wasn't able to get that through the General Assembly this time. But hopefully in the future, we will get real lobbying reform, and that'll help prevent incidents like this from occurring in the future.
We're almost out of time, but before we go, Seth Magaziner, what's your favorite theory about what caused the mysterious explosion at Salty Brine State
Beach? Well, I wouldn't venture to guess. However, I have great confidence in Rhode Island's tourism industry, so I'm going to personally show some leadership by going to one of our state beaches this weekend. It's a tough job, but somebody has to do it.
Maureen Moakley, any pet theories?
I don't have any pet theories, but two words come to mind that fit in with Rhode Island, and that is hot air.
How about you, Scott McKay? Any thoughts? What might have caused it?
Well, it's leading to a new slogan, of course. We're looking for a state tourism slogan, and the latest is, come to Rhode Island's beaches and have a blast.
That's all we have time for, so we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to URI political science professor Maureen Moakley.
Thank you.
Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Thank you.
And our special guest this week, Rhode Island General Treasurer Seth Magaziner. Thanks for stopping by the Political Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And your regular host, Ian Donis, will be back next week.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.